Deuteronomy chapter 5. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Oreb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those of us alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire, while I was standing between the Lord and you at the time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, did not go up to the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of that land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord God your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there by a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." These words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain from the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick gloom with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. And it came about when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, "Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire, and we have seen today that God speaks with man, yet he lives. Now then, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer, then we shall die. Then, for who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God says, then speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when he spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of the people which they have spoken to you. They have done well in that they have spoken. Oh, that they had a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, so it may be well with them and their sons forever. Go say to them, return to your tents. But as for you, stand here by me, that I may speak to you all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I give them to possess. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." Amen. So this is the Deuteronomy passage of the Ten Commandments. The Exodus 20 was the first one, remember? Now this is the second one. The golden calf happened. The tablets were broken. And so now these are tablets that Moses writes through the inspiration of God. So he calls all of Israel together. And again, it's the part of the Shema, which is the hear. Hear, O Israel. Here's a statute of the ordinance which I'm speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. And notice what he says here. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Oreb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those of us alive here today. Now, this may sound like an unfactual statement, because God did make a covenant with their fathers. He did it here in Exodus 19. So if you turn to Exodus 19, we see an interesting aspect of covenant here. Exodus 19, starting at verse 5. Notice his command. He says, now, this is Exodus 19, 5, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and so on and so forth. But this is conditional. He says, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, and obviously they didn't do that. And so now in chapter 5 in Deuteronomy, God gives Israel another chance to renew covenant. And this really will be a foreshadowing of a greater covenant that's about to come. In fact, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 8 really gives us a really good summary statement of this passage in Deuteronomy. He says in Hebrews chapter 8 at verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant. I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them upon their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. And they shall not teach, and so on and so forth. Okay? And so what's happening here is that in the book of Hebrews, God is instituting a better covenant. We see from the Exodus to the Deuteronomy, there was a first covenant. It wasn't good enough. And so there had to be a reason for a second covenant. And eventually, and the passage that we read in Hebrews, actually from Jeremiah, and then eventually there's a better covenant that God makes with us. And it's not laws that are written on stone, but it's actually laws that are written on our hearts. And obviously, he's talking about Jesus the Christ when he comes. And so he comes to them, and, you know, before, and this is an easy way to understand this, okay? Before, the covenant was conditional on man's response, on man's obedience. The final covenant, or the better covenant, is actually conditional on Jesus' works. And so that's why it's a better covenant. One, contingent, okay, if you don't obey, you are no longer in covenant with the Lord. Obviously, that seems a bit unfair, but it's true. And so there's a better covenant that's laid out for us that's not really based on man's obedience, but it's really based on Christ's righteousness. And so now we are made righteous, not because we obey God, because we keep covenant. We are made righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so that's why it's a better covenant. It's not something on stone, but it's something written on our hearts. You have to understand a part of this and what's saying. There's a part of the church, and there's an idea that says, well, we don't have to obey any of these commands in the Old Testament, or even the Ten Commandments, and so on and so forth. But I want to suggest to you that these are not just commands given to the Israelites, in one sense, but these are commands that are universal in this regard. And so it should go beyond really Moses' words or Moses' teaching to us. It's not the Mosaic covenant. It's God's covenant to mankind, to every person that he has created. And so again, the Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, it starts and ends the same way. There's different nuances in between, but it starts the same way. I am the Lord, your God, finished with your neighbor. And so the overriding theme of both of these commandments or both of these tablets is the simple reality is I am the Lord, your God, your neighbor. And so the reflection of our approach, our love, our forgiveness, the way we treat our neighbor is a direct reflection on the way that we treat our God. So then you can understand when Jesus comes and he says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And then the disciples ask, well, when did we ever visit a shelter you? When did we ever give you clothes? When did we ever feed you? When did we visit you in prison? And again, he says, well, when you did to the least of these, then you've done it unto me. The disciples had no idea that when they were doing it to others, that they were actually doing it to Jesus. And it all goes back to Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5. I am the Lord your God, your neighbor. And it's really important that we grasp this, because this is what gives us the moral inertia, the power for every one of us to love our neighbors, to forgive our enemies. Because in that, there is something that's happening in the natural, which is forgiving our enemies or loving our neighbors or something that regard. But the bigger thing that's happening in the spirit is actually that we're doing this unto God. Every one of our human reflections, our human doings, is reflected out of our relationship with Father God. In that same way, if you use the same logic, Jesus says, well, you can forgive others because I've forgiven you. That's the other flip side of that. And so you can see how this theme is very well interwoven into all of this. Now, most of the commandments are almost verbatim, going all the way to Exodus 20. But there are a few that are a little bit different. And the first one is the Sabbath day. And so when he talks about the Sabbath, he adds this phrase. It says from verse 15, and you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And he's always bringing this nod to the past history. It's important that you remember God did this for you. Now, think about what he's saying to these people that are basically shepherds, farmers, and whatnot. There's an amount of work that you do. And then after you do all your work, there's a reward, there's a harvest, there's livestock that's multiplied, and so on and so forth. And so these guys are used to a certain type of labor, and then there's some reward. And so obviously the more you work, the more reward that you get. The harder you work, the greater reward. And so especially in a slave society where they were tasked to do certain things, and so God tells them, remember, going now, leaving out of Egypt, and God begins to tell them, no, you have a rest day. And God is saying, you can trust him because he's going to give you this. Now, this is huge news to a slave nation who probably never had rest. I mean, this is like good news to a group of people that never had a day off. And God's saying, listen, this is part of your right as people of God. You get to have a holiday once, just simply once a week, a day of rest, a day to be with God. I mean, that would have been, in one sense, it would have been extremely joyful. But in the other sense, thinking of the work and reward aspect, God has to remind them, look, I took you out with my hand and my outstretched arm. In other words, I did this thing. I did something that you couldn't do, you know, in thousands of years. And so you can trust me. One day, don't work and see what God does. I mean, just see what God does. And it's amazing where you see people that keep Sabbath and how God just blesses them. I mean, how God just rocks their world in that regard. I think of a fast food chain in the United States called Chick-fil-A. Some of you guys may be familiar with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A, I mean, a fast food restaurant closed on Sundays is just ridiculous bad business in the eyes of the world. I mean, this is a weekend. This is where, you know, families, they don't want to cook. This is when prime time for people to go out to eat. And Chick-fil-A, who's the CEO, is a very devout believer. Just every store is closed on Sunday. And God has just so blessed this business. I mean, I don't usually do this on the pulpit, but I will say I was very pleased and happy, and I knew God was going to do something in that regard. I saw Ayang at the retreat, and I said, "Hey, you know, who's manning the store, man? Running? I can't imagine your store not running without you." And she said, "Oh, we closed it. We closed it Friday, Saturday, primetime days, so we can come to the retreat." And the idea, it wasn't so much a statement of fear, but it was really a faith. It's kind of like, oh, let's see what God's going to do. You know, let's see how God's going to really bless us when we put God first, or in this regard, when we put our church first and celebrate and worship together as a body. And so this is what I mean. I don't really do this at the pulpit, but go to Talk Korea this week. Bless them. Right, I'll make this statement, you know, later. We'll go there as a staff today for our lunch. But it's great. And God's telling these people, look, you know, you can trust God with Sabbath. I know a lot of a lot of people that work on Sunday, and you know, they don't really have to work. Come on, let's be real. But it's the rat race. It's I got to get ahead. You know, I got to look good to my bosses. I got to finish stuff that I didn't do before or whatnot. Trust me, you don't have to. I mean, I use this as an example, but it's not because I was godly. But, you know, I graduated with honors. I actually did pretty decent in school. You know, I never studied during the weekends. And for whatever reason, Friday, class was done. I didn't even touch my backpack until Monday. And it was, for me, I just wanted to party more than anything else. So it's not a spiritual thing. But even in something like that, I mean, you can make it happen and things. And so he reminds them, hey, keep the Sabbath day. Look, he's saying, I brought you out of Egypt with my mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And so therefore, you can observe the Sabbath. Another word God was saying is, look, I'll take care of you. Okay, you honor me in this, and I'm going to honor you. It's such a simple equation. And then he adds to the honor your mother and honor your mother and your father. It says the days will your days may be prolonged, which we know, but also now it's added that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. And so there's an added element to this that your days may be prolonged. Now, this is a key. Your days are going to be longer, but, I mean, who wants a longer day if you're going to be miserable? Your days are going to be longer, but it's also going to go well with you. You're going to have fruitful days. And this is what's going to happen as you come before the Lord and you honor your mother and father. Again, honoring your mother and father is a reflection of honoring your God. He is your father. And when you honor your parents, it's a reflection of your honor of God. They go hand in hand. And then the rest of the things, we know it from Exodus 20. And then he says to them, these words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain from the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and the thick gloom, with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. It came about when you heard the voice of, from the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. Now notice something that's really important and which relays to us today. Notice the Israelites, they never saw God. Think about that for a moment. They never saw God. There was never some visual picture they can have of God. The only thing the Israelites ever received was his voice. Now think about how significant that is to us today. Okay, we don't see God. I mean, we see him in Jesus Christ, but the way that God reveals himself to us is through His voice. It's the voice of God. We don't see His form, but what do we get to receive? We get to receive His voice. This is why the prophetic is so important to us as a church. I'm not just talking about our church. I'm talking about generally speaking, okay? The prophetic, God's voice, because this is really the only thing that He shows His people again and again and again. He says here, He says, hey, you didn't see, there was a click that, dark cloud. There was the word, He says, thick gloom. And what the heck is thick gloom? And so you see just fall. You don't see anything, but what you received was His voice. And so it's important for us that we relate to God through His voice. We, as people of God, we have the privilege of hearing from Him. That's why, listen, before, a long time ago, I used to get a little tired. I'm just going to be really honest. A little tired of people running up to me to get a prophetic word. I mean, I would speak I'd speak at places, in my travels, and I mean, always at the end of service, I'd always get people to come up to me, and they would just say, you know, P. Sam, give me a word, you know, give me a prophetic word, you know, and a part of me would be like, man, you little punk. You know, it's like, go get your own word, you know, go, you know, you go spend time with God. But I didn't understand that desire that was put in them was a godly desire. It wasn't so much people were selfish, and I mean, some people are, okay, so let's be honest about that. But you know, they just want a word, they just want to, you know, get everything out of you. I understand that part, but I didn't realize it was a God hunger that He placed in every one of our hearts for His voice. We are so hungry to hear God's voice. In fact, we are starving. And can you imagine the worst period for the Israelites? I want to suggest to you, it wasn't when they were in Egypt. The worst period was the time of the prophets, the time of the season of the major and the minor prophets. Because in that time, especially through the season of Amos, they said there was a famine of hearing God's voice. Can you imagine going through 400 years, 500 years, 800 years where the people of Israel did not hear God's voice? I would suggest that was the worst period in their history, because their voice was so tied into the revelation of God. He even tells Moses, you can't see my form. If you see me, you're going to die, but you can hear my voice. And it's important for us to recognize that. And so whenever people come near prophetic people, there is an instant drawing in our hearts. I mean, there is. And I begin to now recognize, now I'm a little older, a little more mature, I'm just a little bit more mature, I begin to recognize that, man, this is really God, the godness that's inside of every one of us. Ecclesiastes says He has set eternity in our hearts. It's that eternity that's in our hearts that just longs after His voice. And that's why we're so attracted to the prophetic. It's not so much that it's about me. And if that's you, then God needs to do something in your heart. But it's really about something that's happening. I'll give you an idea, okay? This is how you can know. This is like the foolproof sign that you have a good relationship with the prophetic ministry. And this is a sign. I'll close with this. When someone in your community is getting a prophetic word, and that someone's speaking over it, this is how you check your emotions, that you are so happy and you're so joyful and you're rejoicing that so-and-so got that word. Otherwise, now if you have an unhealthy relationship, healthy one is, wow, man, praise God, I'm so happy for that person, I'm so excited, yeah, the prophetic is moving. You know, I mean, some of us were so blessed when Pastor Sonny was praying over Nate, you know, and then PB came and called Mom the Gift. That's her nickname from now on, by the way, the Gift. And so, you know, we're so excited, wow, that's great, that's awesome, so happy. So that's a healthy way to process the prophetic in our life. The unhealthy way is someone's getting prayed for, you know, Nate is being prophesied, and then we say, how about me? What about me? How come I'm not getting it? That's an unhealthy way to pursue the prophetic. Do you see the difference? Right, one rejoices because it doesn't matter if it's me. It's just the prophetic is moving. It's operating, and we're just rejoicing in that because God's voice is coming through. Now, when we remember, anything that's good, we can make bad. God, the enemy can turn it in a way. He counterfeits it. And in that same regard, it manifests when the prophetic is happening, things are moving along. And what do we say? We say, like, hey, that's good and all. I'm happy for that person. But what about me? How come I'm not getting a prophetic word and whatnot? And then that's when you know you need to check your heart. Amen? All right, it's his voice. Let's close our eyes. Let's just pray into that last part. The voice of God. Are you familiar with God's voice? That's why in Experiencing God, our discipleship class, there's a quote in there, and a lot of people really struggle with this quote that Blackaby says. And it's so simple. He says, if you're having trouble hearing from God, you're having trouble at the heart of your Christian experience. And most people are like, what? I mean, I've had some people get really upset with that phrase. But see, they don't understand that that's God's revelation to us. Even the scriptures are a form of God's voice to us. When God speaks through scripture, it's not just words on a page, but it's like life that comes up. It's specific words in a specific time for a specific situation that's spoken into us. That's what brings us life. It's the truth. The truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not necessarily the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know that sets you free. That's the prophetic at work. And so, are you familiar with God's voice? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let Him whisper into your heart of hearts to fine-tune our hearing to the voice of God.
You're my rock, a peace.
Let's pray. Let's pray that we would be more sensitive to God's voice. This is how He has revealed Himself to Israel. This is how He reveals Himself to us today. It's His voice. Let's pray for a heightened sensitivity to the voice of God. Let's pray for more of the prophetic to run through our lives. Let's just go to Him. Let's pray over our community. Let's lift up our friends that are battling with cancer and going through therapies and recovering from surgeries. Let's just really go before the Lord and bring about His perfect peace and His healing word. Let's pray over our community that's battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for spiritual and physical healing. Let's pray for our community. They're battling different kinds of illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Grace, and so thankful she had a very restful time here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for their ministry at Bloom. Let's pray for Pastor Oh at V2R and his ministry as he finalizes PhD. Pray for Japan and Pastor Sophia as she continues to adjust and help her. Let's pray that she would excel in her language studies at this time. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for IP Well and Cascade. Now let's pray for God's hand upon our leaders, our ministers, our counselors. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would continue to use them to bring healing to so many people and to pray God's purposes through. Let's just lift up our leaders and volunteers in these ministries. Let's cover our education ministries, and let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's ask for God's hand to be upon our pastors, our leaders, and our teachers, and our students. Let's pray Holy Spirit would just really use us to train our young ones into the ways of the Lord. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and the homeless outreach. Let's pray that God's hand would be upon our leaders that go out, our volunteers, and that the Holy Spirit would equip them. They would hear God's voice, and they would minister that voice to others around them. Let's just cover them. Let's cover our house churches. Let's pray for Soho, Robin Hood, and Austin West. Let's pray for God's blessing tonight as they gather together and seek God's face and reflect on the retreat and just continue to pray for each other. Let's lift up. Thank you. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for writing the covenant on our hearts, God. Lord, we are your people, Lord. You are our God. Lord, help us to always live our life, Lord, under that construct, Lord. We are not God. You are. Lord, help us, Lord, to follow clearly your voice, God, as you lead us into truth and into life. We thank you, Father. Just watch over us today. Lord, help us as we seek your face, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.